Ephesians chapter 6, and let's start at verse number 10. We're going to read down to verse number 18. So Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Excuse me. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, we do thank you again for allowing us to be gathered together this morning. Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, guiding us according to your will. Lord, reminding us of the things we need to remember, helping us, Lord, to choose every day to walk with Christ, choosing every day to be faithful to a faithful Savior. Father, I ask that you would minister to the hearts of your people. I pray that you would meet the need of every person here. I pray, Father, that you'd speak to the hearts of the children in junior church, just like you did in Sunday school, continuing, allow the Word of God to take root in their heart, to bring forth much fruit in their life. Father, we desire the same for ourselves, that much fruit, Father, would be gleaned from the Word of God this morning. Father, that we could apply it to our life and that you would teach us how to apply it to our life. Father, would you help us to see where we need to grow, where we need to improve in our relationship with you and in our faith. And Father, would you, by your Holy Spirit, guide us according to your will. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again this morning, I want to talk to us about the power and the promise of prayer. The power and promise of prayer. Prayer is something that's not utilized much by God's people. It is something that sometimes is just a byword. Sometimes it's like a spare tire in your car. If you need it, you'll use it. Otherwise, you'll just stick to the steering wheel and just keep moving along as nothing happens. But prayer is more than just a spare tire. It's more than a lot of us really realize. I am still learning the importance of prayer, even though I'm in the position of a pastor, even though I've been a Christian for some time now, yet I'm still caught off guard many times how much I don't pray. Because as we'll see this morning, God calls us to pray every day in all situations and for all needs. But we have a lot of supplies in our homes. You think, when was the last time you prayed for food because you didn't have food? It's probably been a while, and I'm not talking, you know, you're praying for food that you don't have. You have food, but you're wanting chocolate or pizza or steak, and you're praying, you know, a friend just calls you up and says, hey, you want to meet for lunch? I'm buying. And you're like, I'll be there, right? Not that type of without food. But honestly, you know, we can get into the routine of just nonchalantly, not wholeheartedly praying. And it is one of the pieces of the armor that God calls us to put on every day. Prayer. He calls us to put on the breastplate of righteousness, to have the shield of faith, to have your loins girt about with truth and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. But in verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It is the number one thing that you and I need to be a part of every day of our life. And I want to say this morning, it's not our way of serving God. We don't serve God through prayer. Prayer is another form of worshiping. If you were here in Sunday school, I took us to the book of Matthew and looked at some verses where Jesus talks about how we serve him and we serve by serving people. Because Jesus says, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And he names being sick or in prison, destitute of food, you know, nakedness, having some need. We serve God by serving people. But prayer is what God has given to us as a special way to communicate with our Lord and Savior, to be able to spend some intimate time with the Lord. And sometimes, like Nehemiah, you might be in a predicament where you need the Lord's help right away. And as Nehemiah would just pray, as the king said, why are you sad? This is nothing more than sorrow and heart. And Nehemiah was kind of afraid to tell the king what was on his heart because he wanted to go back to Jerusalem. He wanted to rebuild the walls because God had given him a burden, a heart's desire to do that as God revealed to Nehemiah the condition of the people and Jerusalem. And he prayed a quick prayer just, you know, for confidence, for God's grace to help him to say what needed to be said. There's times for that, but then there's times where Jesus says to go into your closet and shut the door behind you. Meaning, you know what, there's times where we have to have a closer prayer time with the Lord where we shut the cares of this world out. We shut off the technology. We remove anything that could distract us so we could really spend some time in prayer with God so we can hear that soft, still voice as he speaks to us so we can find his perfect will in what we're asking him for, and we're seeking his joy in our life and we are seeking to have a closer walk with him. But there is power in prayer, and that's emphasized here in verse 18. And we'll even look at the end, the promise of prayer, because God does give a promise to prayer. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, the effectual prayer, or the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When was the last time you had your prayer answered? When was the last time you rejoiced over God answering a prayer? Was it this morning? Was it last week? Has it been some time? Have you lost hope in prayer? Have you lost hope in the God of prayer who answers the prayers of his people? This morning I want us to understand that God always wants us to be persistent in praying. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. We are to always be in prayer, in constant contact with the Lord. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. In Luke 18 and verse 1, Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Don't give up on the prayer life that God has given. Don't give up on the power of prayer. And don't give up on the God who answers our prayers. There is power in prayer because when you and I are praying, hopefully, to the God of heaven and in the name of Jesus Christ, we're praying with confidence that he hears us, he will answer us according to his will, and we can truly cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. The devil does not only want to get the truth of God's word out of your hands and out of your heart and mind, but he also wants to get you to lay down the shield of faith. He wants you to give up on prayer. He wants you to believe that it doesn't matter if you pray, nothing will change, nothing will happen. When we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, God says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and pray, God promises that he will do something. In Jeremiah, he says, call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. This morning, I just want us to be reminded of that we still serve a God. We still worship a God. We still believe in a God who answers prayer and has given us the gift of prayer. Coming to the one who sees all, knows all, and can change anything. There's nothing impossible that our God cannot do. And that's why even earlier I mentioned pray about the elections on Tuesday. Because we have a God in heaven who can change the hearts of men and women that are in political positions. Number one, they need to be saved. Number two, they need to follow the ways of the Lord. And I believe that through prayer, when we pray for others, it helps us to draw closer to the Lord. It will reveal things in our life that the Lord wants to change. I want you to notice the possibilities of prayer, though. He says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication, that means there are no limits to what God can do through our prayer. There's no limit on what we can pray about. We are to pray on all occasions. Every moment we have to ask God to help us or somebody we know needs help, we are to pray. Many times in the Old Testament, they would pray. They would pray in the synagogue. They would pray at home. They would pray at meals, or not in the synagogue, but this is what we can do. Examples of places that we can pray: in church, at home, at meals, in public, in a fish's belly. You think about Jonah. In battle, before battle, after battle. Sometimes, you know what? We don't pray until we're in the midst of a storm. And what do we normally pray? God, stop the storm. God, change the storm. God, get me out of the storm. God, why did you bring me here? But you know what? We can pray for the storms before they arise in our life. Lord, help me to have the grace to endure the storm. Lord, help me to have the faith to believe you in the storm. And Lord, help me to have the faith to worship you after the storm. But anywhere and everywhere in our life, we are to pray. Many times in the Bible, they would pray for safety and forgiveness, for food, for faith, for other people, for healing, for wisdom, for relief from suffering, for rain, for children, for health, for prosperity, for spiritual strength, and many more things. Sometimes I believe that God's people limit their prayer list to only what they think God cares about. And we forget that God cares about every detail of our life. He cares about every detail of what you're going through. He cares about every decision you need to make, because he's the one that says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. He says, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. And he'll give wisdom. He'll give it liberally. And we do. We need wisdom from God in this day and age in which we live. Wisdom not only in our daily lives and the decisions we need to make, but also for the elections coming up. Also for, Lord, how do you want me to lead my family? How do you want me to raise my children? How can I be a light and salt to my co-workers, to my family and friends that are lost? But as we look at prayer in this verse, we see that there's to be a petition. Again, having the mindset and the belief and the reality, looking through spiritual eyes, that I have the privilege, I have the grace to come before the throne of grace. I have that privilege to come into the throne room of God and to beseech him for my needs, to pray on the behalf of somebody else, and have the heart of faith that God hears and will answer and will show himself great and mighty. Because you understand that if we don't believe somebody can do something for us, we will never ask them for their help. If I don't believe someone can change something, I mean, I'm not going to take, you know, my car. My car needs some work right now, and I'm not going to take it to somebody who can't fix it. I'm not going to take it to, I'm not going to roll up to, let's just say McDonald's and ask the manager, hey, you mind looking at my car and fixing it for me? I have no confidence and hope that that person knows anything about cars, right? What do you do when you have a vehicle situation? You take it to somebody who knows what they're doing. But if you do not believe they know what they're doing, if you do not believe they will help you, you will not ask them for their help. You will not waste your time in going to them. And again, many of God's people are treating God just like that. God does not know what to do. God cannot help. God's not going to help me. praying with supplication. Supplication means to ask, to request something. I want you to take your Bibles and look at Matthew chapter 6, if you would. Let's look at Jesus' model prayer. It was a model prayer. It was to give his disciples an example on how to come to God in prayer and how to seek the Lord. Because they saw Jesus praying, they saw there was something different about the way Jesus prayed and the way that the Pharisees and the scribes would pray. In Matthew chapter 6, you look at verse 9 through 13, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The disciples went, "Oh, Lord, teach us to pray." And he gave them an example on how to pray. And it always started with worship. Worshiping God. Worshiping the Father which art in heaven, whose name is hallowed. And then there is to be thanksgiving. Having gratitude to the Lord. Coming to the Lord, thanking him for what he has done, what he has provided. Thanking him for being faithful and never changing, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. His word never changes. His promises never change. But in this model prayer, Jesus incorporates all of these. The worship, the thanksgiving, the gratitude, the praise, even confession. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, I'm struggling with even believing that you would be willing to help me or to even help my family or to help in this situation. Again, the Lord already knows where we struggle in our faith. We just have to be honest with him. In James chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible tells us, "You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not." Sometimes we don't get our answers to the prayers that we're seeking God with because we're truly not asking. We're truly not seeking him. We know to, but we're not truly seeking him with all of our heart. I believe a Christian who does not have a prayer life is a Christian who has no power in their life. Because it is our Heavenly Father, it is even through His Spirit that we're able to pray. The Holy Spirit of God wants us to surrender to prayer, wants us to commit to prayer with all of our heart. Remember, because that lawyer came to Jesus and said, "Which is the great commandment? Which is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said that you would love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. We have to love God with every ounce of our being and love everything about God and everything that God's given us. Somebody once said that prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. If I throw out a boat hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. Matthew 6 and verse 8 reminds us, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." The Lord knows what we need. The Lord knows what we're going to say, but he still wants us by faith to open up our hearts and our mouths and to pour out our supplications to him, to seek him with a sincere heart of faith and trust. Prayer always maintains and deepens our connection with God. Again, we seek God for our need, but it is God that helps us to see that sometimes there's something in our life that needs to change. You read that throughout Scripture again, where Paul wants the thorn in the flesh to be removed, but because he hears the truth from Jesus Christ, "My grace is sufficient, for in your weakness then I am strong," Paul says, "I'd rather have the glory of God, the power of God upon my life." And he submitted to what God was allowing and keeping in Paul's life. But again, it is power through praying in the Spirit. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit who lives in us and makes sure our prayers are presented to God correctly. The Holy Spirit is certain of what we need, and He presents it to God most effectively. And this is mentioned in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That doesn't mean, okay, I don't need to pray because the Holy Spirit will pray for me. It's just there's times, if you're like me, you've gone to God in prayer for something, you're like, Lord, I'm not quite sure how to pray for this. I'm not quite sure how to pray for this person. And you just try to pray for them, and the Holy Spirit relays it to the Father the way it should be relayed to the Father. Because you understand, it's not about the words, it's about the heart. Because I knew somebody, and there are many people that do struggle with salvation. They struggle with whether or not they're saved because they're thinking, well, maybe I didn't say the right words. Maybe I didn't, you know, say it a certain way because they hear someone else's testimony. Maybe they hear someone, you know, you've got to say it this way. We got to be careful that we don't lead somebody in saying a prayer, repeating a prayer, because it's not about the words. But again, there are those that struggle with, did I say the right words? And they have to come to the conclusion, okay, my faith is not in the words, my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, our prayer. When was the last time we prayed wholeheartedly? Not focused on what we were saying, but totally focused on the Lord. Knowing that He already knows what's in my heart. If I forget, have you ever forgotten to tell God something? Have you ever been talking to somebody on the phone or, you know, maybe sending an email or text and you're done? Oh, you know what? I forgot to tell them this. Has that ever happened to you where, you know, you were going to tell them, but you forgot? And maybe you had to call them back up and, oh, I forgot to tell you this. Sometimes, you know, we might think, you know, I forgot to tell God this. He already knows. That's why I want you to think about the power and the promise of prayer. Hopefully, we've not lost hope in the gift of prayer. The power of prayer, praying through the Holy Spirit, knowing the Holy Spirit will help us. It's not any person on this earth, it's not any person that has lived before us or will live after us. It's no denomination, it's no religion that's going to get your prayer to the throne of God. There's one mediator between man and God, between man and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. It's not somebody else, it's not some other deity that maybe somebody is worshiping. It's the Spirit of God, it's Jesus Christ. You continue looking, he says, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Watching thereto with all perseverance. Watching simply means to be awake and vigilant. Again, the days of Nehemiah in chapter 4, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand he held a weapon. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. In the days of Nehemiah, the enemy was going to come against them, threatened to come against them. And Nehemiah instructed the people in one hand have a sword, the other hand have a trowel. And they were trusting God to help them. Nehemiah was a man of prayer. Again, he prayed before he even asked the king to give him leave to go back and to build the walls of Jerusalem that had been torn down because of the sin and the disobedience and rebellion of God's people. But now Nehemiah was being raised up, and Nehemiah spent time in prayer, and he encouraged the rest of the men to trust God and to put their faith in the one whose name was in Jerusalem. know what? Sometimes you do need to be specific in prayer. Sometimes, you know, we can be non-specific. Lord, just help me through this day. But sometimes God wants us to be specific. Again, as we are working on repairing our roof, constantly praying about it. Wednesday, I asked the people to pray for the safety of the people that are up there working, to pray that God would just help us to get the work done. God can help us with anything. Again, I mean, I'm just mentioning that because that's just something we're working on. But what is something in your life that you need help with? What is somebody in your life that you're praying for? Again, it's wrong for God's people not to believe in prayer. And it's wrong for God's people not to participate in prayer and to practice prayer and to pray in faith, believing. Because how does one person get saved? By putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And we use the word pray, but it's calling unto the Father. If thou shalt call unto me, thou shalt be saved. What I'm saying is prayer doesn't stop at the moment of salvation. Prayer becomes our life. It becomes our relationship with the Father. It becomes our lifeline. It becomes our offense, our defense weapon. It is what the Father has given to us. And you realize that when we pray, prayer moves the hand of God. When we work, we work. Someone once said, when we work, we work. We can do the work, but it's a lot better to pray and ask the Father to bless the work, whatever it is we may be doing, helping us to accomplish His will. He goes on to say, praying with all perseverance, back in Ephesians chapter 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Praying with all perseverance. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Continuing steadfastly in prayer, being perseverant in our prayers. A change in our routine can upset our prayer life, especially in a time of a pandemic or anything. It's easy to put off essential tasks, and we should always copy the pattern of the early church in praying. I wonder, again, I bring up the pandemic of 2020, and how not one single person wasn't affected by it. Everybody was affected by what happened in 2020. And a lot of people's relationships with God was affected. There is nothing in our life, nothing in this world that should ever affect our prayer life. Again, I bring up the topic of prayer this morning because we live in a time, we live in an age where the mentality of the world should not be the mentality of God's people. Again, I'm not naive to believe that everything we pray for, God will change. Some things don't change. And we have to trust God if they do not change. Again, Paul prayed for something to change in his life. The Lord left it and said, no, but my grace will be sufficient. Only God knows why some things He leaves when we pray. But if we don't get the answer to the prayer that we're seeking, we still need to trust that God knows what He's doing and God knows what's best. And leave that prayer in His hand, because at some point He may answer that prayer at another time. I want you to look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Again, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, again, wicked way, unbelief, doubt, not really believing that God can help, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. As we apply that to our life today, you know, what is it that needs healing in your life? And there might be something in your mind that you're thinking, yeah, well, God hasn't answered that prayer yet. Maybe there's unbelief on your part. But regardless of whatever it is, God still promises, if you call unto me, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, that's again, Lord, I know there's nothing you cannot do for me. I know there might be some things that I ask for that you don't give me because it's in my best interest, or it'll be answered at another time. But the thing is that God gives us the grace to continue walking with him. But this is the question for us this morning as we look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. Have we humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God? Because someone may say, well, I know the Bible. I know what God says. But have we humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God? Have we truly sought his face with all of our heart? And have we truly prayed the way that God wants us to pray? And have we turned from our own wicked ways, the ways that are contrary to God and contrary to the truths that God has revealed to us through his word? Because God says, if we do those things first, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Then God will, he will work in your life. He will bless your life. He will help you. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I want us to understand and be reminded this morning, as I often have to remind myself, that God cares more about my life and my relationship with him than I do. And we have to be honest that God does truly care more about our relationship with him than we often do sometimes. Because again, the power of prayer, there's nothing God cannot do. I mean, there's so many people in history in the Bible that we could look to that are great examples of prayer warriors and people that believed in prayer. And that's fine and dandy. Sometimes, often I bring up George Mueller. If you're familiar with George Mueller, and a man from Bristol that would start orphanages and just praying, asking God to provide, never asking anybody for a dime, never soliciting anybody, never even telling people the need. Just you read the accounts of him just having the people usher in the children and have them sit at the table that's already has their plate and has their silverware and has their cup, and there's nothing in the kitchen. But testimonies being said of George Mueller sitting down at the table with the children and praying and thanking God for the food he's provided when there's nothing in the kitchen. And the workers know there's nothing to give. Boy, George Mueller praying in such faith because God gave him the children to take care of. They were God's children. And when he would pray and thank the Lord for the food he has provided, as soon as he would say amen, there'd be a knock on the door. The milkman's cart had broken down and could not finish his deliveries and says, can you use the milk? And then a baker would come and say, The Lord burdened my heart to get up at 2 a.m. to bake bread for the orphans. Can you use it? See, when you seek God in prayer, sometimes he's going to lay upon our heart the need of someone who hasn't said anything to us. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit will lay upon our heart to pray for somebody, and we don't know what the need is, but we start praying for them, and we start praying specifically things that we weren't even thinking about beforehand. One thing I want us to think about and just remember, the purpose of praying is not service, it's worship. It's worship seeking God's will in your life and in the lives of others. It is doing what the Lord has asked us to do, and that is to remain close by him and not to neglect the gift that he's given us. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, Samuel says this, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." In ceasing to pray for you. God calls us to a life of prayer. God calls us to pray without ceasing, not to grow weary and faint, but to keep trusting, to keep believing, and to be like that woman that came to the earthly judge that Jesus tells the story about, that kept coming to the judge, wanting the earthly judge to revenge her, to meet some need in her life, and she just would not stop until he finally said, "You know what, I better do what she wants, otherwise she's going to keep coming and pestering me." And the Lord says he wants us to be like that. Keep pestering him until he answers your prayer. Never giving up, because there is power in prayer. If there wasn't power in prayer, the world would not say you can't pray in school. You can't pray here. You can't pray there. You can't share your faith. But there is power in prayer, because there's power in the name of Jesus Christ.